Recording. Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency for October 4th, 2022. And I'd like to call the meeting to order and move on to item two, Pledge of Allegiance. And I would like to ask if Director Armitage would be good enough to lead us in the pledge tonight.
My pleasure. Please stand. Place your right hand over your heart and ready to begin.
All right, we can continue with our announcements for tonight's meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service or which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or the internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. Remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We do have members of the public present, so I'd like to remind them that there are public comment cards on the table outside. Please complete and return to the board secretary to help expedite public comments. The procedure for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for the roll call votes. All directors are present tonight for tonight's meeting except Director Braunstein. We now can continue with the meeting and move on to item three, public comment. I do not have any public comment cards from members in person. Madam Secretary, do we have any members attending online that have public comment?
We do not.
We do not. Very good. We can move on to approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, additions, or modifications to the agenda from the board? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved. We can move on to item five, approval of the consent calendar. There are four items on the consent calendar tonight. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
Motion to approve, RJ.
Motion by
RJ.
Director Kelly.
Colley will second.
Second by Director Colley. Are there any public comments before we take the vote?
There is not.
Very good. Is there any more discussion before we take the vote? Seeing none, please call the roll, Madam Secretary.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Cooper?
Yes.
Vice President Nosuchowski?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and that includes resolution number SCV-303.
Thank you, Board. We can move on to
point of order. Madam Secretary, we approved the agenda. Is that correct?
We approved the consent calendar.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Yes. All right, we can move on to item six, action items for approval. As is my normal procedure, I ask General Manager Stone if he has any opening remarks before we move on to item 6.1.
This item did come through the Finance and Administration Committee, and I think Rochelle has made some additional informational enhancements to it and is prepared to present it tonight.
Okay. Very good. Item 6.1, approve a revised employee manual policy number 13.0 for holidays. Ms. Patterson, please.
Good evening. So at the request of a member of the board of directors, staff was asked, was tasked with reviewing the agency's holiday policy and to look to see if adding the federal holiday Juneteenth was an option. There was also a question as to which holiday schedule the agency followed, federal or state. The answer is a combination of the two, which is shown on page 117 of the packet in attachment one. So to fulfill the request, staff surveyed the agency's 10 comparable market agencies that we identified and used for the classification and compensation study to see if they had adopted Juneteenth as an agency holiday, but also other public agencies, water and cities throughout the state for a total of 46 responding agencies. Of those 46, 10 are observing Juneteenth and 2 are seeking approval to add the holiday. And looking at the 10 comparable market agencies, for the most part, the other agencies' holiday schedules align with SCV Waters, with one adding Juneteenth to their holiday schedule. SCV Water offers its eligible employees with 10 paid holidays, as shown in the attachment, and 2 paid floating holidays for a total of 12 paid holidays. The survey also showed that 7 of the comparable agencies offered more than 10 holidays and 13 or more days when floating holidays were included. No agency provided more than 15 holidays. The average number of holidays fixed and floating was 13. As a result of the survey, SCV Waters policy on holidays is slightly below the market median of our class and comp comparable group. Management recommends adding one additional holiday, but not designating a specific date, since there are several to choose from, and some staff may also wish to observe a particular religious holiday of their faith. The Finance Administration Committee reviewed this item at the September 19th committee meeting. A majority of the committee recommended to add one additional floating holiday, as well as suggestions for clarifying policy language. Some of those suggestions were restating that the floating holiday is to be taken as a whole day, no different than any other holiday, provided an example of a work day. For example, for payroll purposes, regular work days need to be converted to hours. Approximately 90% of the agency employees work a 980 schedule. For this example, those employees would receive 27 hours of floating holiday leave credit, assuming a third day was added. So 3 days times 9 hours per day. If an employee were to use a floating holiday on an 8-hour Friday, we have added that that 1 hour remaining will be forfeited and not subject to payout. We also softened the disciplinary action language for not using the allotted floating holidays. And then I did want to note that approximately 15% of the eligible employees receive a payout. So 85% do take the floating holidays. There is no incremental budgetary impact for adding an additional floating holiday. And then to note, the attached policy change as shown in attachment 2 in your packet has the effective date on the policy of October 2022. For administrative purposes, and since we are nearing the end of the calendar year, the recommendation is for the board of directors to approve revising employee manual policy number 13 holidays by adding one additional floating holiday to be effective January of 2023. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Rochelle. Madam Secretary, we have any public comment on the presentation?
We do not.
I do not have any public comment cards. We can open up for board discussion on the recommendation. Director Colling.
So, yeah, I do have some concerns. First, while I guess we don't need to amend the budget in order to do this action, the staff tells us that the payroll per day of the agency is about $113,000. And that even is probably understated, because that was based on 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for the 52 weeks of the year. So anyway, over $100,000 of labor that we think we need, I think we need it because we're paying for it, is lost if we approve this. So that's my first observation. This is not free by any means. Assuming that we have the employees we need and not more, giving up this labor is a little bit troublesome. The next thing I want to note is that when we converted most of the employees, and I believe we said there's something like 90% of our employees are working 9 days out of every 2 weeks, and the holidays remain the same. If you look at the holiday schedules, most of them fall on a Monday. And so most of them, out of the 10 original holidays, are 9-hour days. And so it used to be, before, when our employees worked 5 days a week, the holidays, the 10 holidays, equated to 80 hours of time off of work. Now that 10 holidays equates to about 90 hours off of work in many years. And so our employees are already getting the equivalent of an extra holiday. And I'll ask staff to help me understand if other agencies are providing effectively that extra day or more. It's actually more than an extra day. But the data that I got back, and it wasn't of enough granularity to help me understand that. So, you know, once again, I guess we're not Santa Claus here. This is money that we're extracting from the ratepayers. Okay, and I'm all in favor of providing, you know, a good salary and good benefits for our employees, but we just keep adding on to them. And the people that are paying the bill, they're not getting more. We're just extracting more from them. And once again, I don't think that that's appropriate for us as a representative of the public to once again extract more money from the ratepayer in order to pay our staff more or provide more and more generous benefits. So I'm going to vote against this. I do understand that the committee was inclined to vote for it, but I think that we should not be doing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Colley. Director Cooper, you had your hand up.
Yes, thank you, President Martin. You know, if you look at the agencies that are in our survey, most all of them operate their week just as we do. I can tell you, Metropolitan, my gosh, for many, many years now, the field areas are all off on Fridays. They work a four-day work week, four 10-hour days. The downtown area works every other Friday off. So they're kind of 9-hour days down there. And that's been like that for, 20 plus years. So most agencies run their hours the same way we do. When you do a survey and the survey comes out that you're below average, one of the things to look at is we have a group of employees that's very different than the ones that are in the survey. We don't have a union. We don't have anybody representing the employees except us. The executive staff and this board represent the employees. And our job is to see that they are fairly treated and that they're getting what the industry's norms are out there. If we had a union that was in here, let me tell you, we'd be spending $1 million a year administering to a union. I've dealt that on both sides of the fence. I ran the union for many years, and then I was the manager negotiating on the other side of the fence for many years. We've had this very good, and I want us to make sure that we take care of the employees properly, that we give them the benefits that are due in the industry. And when I look at the survey, and the survey is 13, Rick, there's some that are 15 and plus personal leave days in there, but 13 as an average, I think we're due to give that to the employees. I think it's only fair that as the employees' representatives, that we do that with the employees. So I would move the staff's recommendation to add an additional floating holiday.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Director Kutsai.
I will second Director Cooper's motion. I was at the Finance Committee. I think we had a good discussion, and the overall goal was staying competitive with other agencies. I know that, you know, especially now we need to retain employees, maintain employees, and I don't want to get behind what other comparable agencies are offering, or we will, you know, lose skilled workers. So I'm in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Director Kelly, go ahead.
Also being a member of the Finance Committee, we had pretty good discussion and debate on this. Director Colley's wrong in saying that the Finance Committee was very much in favor of this. What we were in favor of was bringing it to the board for further discussion. I also agree that finances are something that should be a major consideration, whether it's the employees that lack the benefit of the raise or whether it's the fact that they do benefit from the raise. But it was something that was debated quite a bit, brought here, asked to go back. And with that, I'd like to make a substitute motion that the policy remain as it is.
Can you repeat that, Director Kelly?
Make a substitute motion that the existing policy stay in place.
All right. So this is a motion to amend. Is that correct, Mr. Bunn?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So following discussion, we will take, is there a second on the motion to amend?
Yeah, I would certainly second, although at some point we have to have a discussion about whether or not it's a substitute motion or a motion to amend, because we are all confused on the difference. Right. But at any rate, I will certainly second the motion. Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion before we consider the motion to amend? Vice President Ozahusky.
Mr. Patterson, on page 119, the financial considerations, there's a statement. I'll read it out loud here. There's the loss of a workday from a production standpoint, the productivity boost from staff morale, and the tendency to get work done ahead of and after holiday or vacation day, likely partially mitigate this production impact. Can you validate that statement?
I think every employee has a specific job to do. And even if you're not here, the job still needs to get done. So whether you work a little bit more, a little bit harder the day before, a day after, regardless, the work would still get done by that employee. So I think that's what that statement is trying to say, is that the employee, in order to get that extra holiday, will put in, you know, extra effort in order to have that day, but they still need to get their work done.
Is your microphone
on? And as a head of department,
Rochelle, is your microphone turned on?
I think so. Seems pretty quiet.
Yeah. Okay. And as a head of department, have you witnessed that that habit from your staff?
I haven't seen it not happen. So the productivity has always been the same. It's always been high. And, you know, if anyone has a specific job or deadline, those are always done on time.
Okay. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. I want to make a comment before we take a vote on the motion to amend.
I'm in support of the additional holiday. Appears to me to be a good compromise between what was originally requested and what we came down with in terms of a specific holiday versus a floating holiday. It also complies with our policy to stay in the middle of the road with our competitor agencies. I think we all know that turnover is much more expensive than adding a holiday. And we don't want to be losing our employees to others that have a superior set of benefits for our employees. So I plan to vote in favor of it. But with that, unless there's any further comments, Director Colley.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the comment I've heard pretty often over the 20 years that we would be concerned about the formation of a union. I would suggest that under the Supreme Court decision in Janus, the likelihood of a public agency today initiating a new union is incredibly low. So I'm not sure that we ought to be concerned about that. Thank you.
Very good. Director Cooper, you had a comment.
I think that's completely false. I've been in that side of the fence. You don't have to form a union. You can form an employees association. That's the employees get together and have an association. It's not along with SEIU or AFSCME or Teamsters or anybody else. They're the same thing. They're a bargaining unit. The employees here have trusted us for all these years to be the bargaining unit for them and for us to do what's right by the employees. And they've never formed an employees association. They've never looked at unions. And it's very easy for them to do that. So I think that's completely false to take that kind of a, and that's saying, that to me, that's kind of wagging your nose at it and saying, hey, you don't have the ability to go out there and get a union. That's not true at all. Very easy to do.
Director Gutzeit.
I just want to add on that point, the union issue doesn't really matter to me. What matters to me is that we maintain and retain skilled employees. I mean, we do tens of millions of dollars. I mean, we have single projects that are in excess of $10 million. And we're talking about one holiday for maybe $100,000, $150,000, whatever the number is. It's a fraction of a percent issue versus, like you said, the cost of turnover, the cost of not having key staff securing millions of dollars of grants, working on water banking and other things. I think it's, we would be penny wise and pound foolish to not keep our employees on par with other agencies. So.
Thank you, Director Gutzeit. Are there any other, Director Cooper?
One last comment is there's a big difference in giving a floating holiday as opposed to giving a holiday. When a holiday is there, we're not available to the public. The whole place is shut down. The public has no access to us. With this is no more than somebody taking a sick day off. This is each employee deciding when they need to take a day off to take their floating holiday for the year. It's very it is not disruptive to the workforce any more than sick leave or a bereavement leave or anything else. So I think by doing it with a floating holiday is a very good way to do it.
Thank you, Director Cooper. I don't see any further questions or comments from the board, so we can take the motion to amend, which was to leave the policy as is with no additional holidays. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
No.
Director Gutzeit.
No.
Director Armitage.
No.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Ford.
No.
Director Planbeck.
No.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
No.
Vice President Ozuhofsky.
No.
President Martin.
No.
The amended motion did not pass.
We can move back to or on with the original motion, which was to accept the staff recommendation to add one floating holiday to the policy. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Cawley.
No.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
No.
Vice President Ozuhofsky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Board. We now can move on to item 6.2, approve a revised COVID-19 supplemental paid sick leave policy to comply with AB 152. The presenter, once again, is Rochelle Patterson. Ms. Patterson, please proceed.
This is just a continuation of the policy that we currently had. It was SB 114. That was the supplemental paid sick leave, which had two banks of hours. It had 5 days or 40 hours for the first bank, which covered anyone if they had recovering from the immunizations to not feeling well before there was a test. The second bank they could dip into if they did have a positive result or needed extra time for vaccine recovery. It does not reset any hours that were previously used. It goes back to January 1st, 2022 this year. So it's only available to those who haven't used it or have remaining hours. Other than that, the policy has not changed from the previous SB 114 policy. I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Thank you, Rochelle. Do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. We can open up to board discussion, or we can, entertain a motion for approval of the staff recommendation. Director Armitage.
I move to approve.
And I'll second it.
Motion to approve by Director Armitage, second by Director Plambeck. Any other discussion? If not, please proceed with the roll call, Madam Secretary.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Cawley.
No.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Vice President Ozuhofsky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Thank you very much. We now can move on to item 6.3, approve an appointment of a representative and alternate representative to serve on the JPIA Board of Directors, or otherwise known as the AQUA JPIA Board of Directors. And so let me open up the discussion on this and explain what we're doing. As you all know, we do have a vacancy created by the passing of Jerry Gladbach on the AQUA JPIA board. We actually have two seats on the AQUA JPIA, Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency has one seat, and the SCVGSA has one seat, which I sit on. We all know Jerry was a fixture on AQUA JPIA as well as AQUA. Being the board chair for AQUA JPIA, as well as the past president for AQUA, longtime JPIA member. And with that bit of background, I would like to take the liberty of, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do this one time. I'm going to take the liberty of nominating Director Bill Cooper for this position. And I do that because of Bill's relationship with AQUA as the Region 8 vice chair, attends AQUA board meetings, well regarded by his colleagues up and down the line, whether it be in Sacramento or in Los Angeles or anywhere else. He's the longest tenured board member since Jerry now is gone. And I trust that he would be well received by the Aqua JPIA board. And with that, I nominate Director Bill Cooper to sit on the Aqua JPIA board. Do we have any other nominations?
I will second the nomination of Mr. Cooper.
April, can you kind of explain the process that we're going to go through now?
Yeah, we would just, if there's no more nominations, then we would ask for a motion and a second. If there's no, I mean, actually, if there's no other, then we would just vote.
So if seeing no other nominations, I would entertain a motion to appoint Director Cooper to the Aqua JPIA board representing the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency.
All right, I'll, instead of seconding it, I will make that motion.
Motion by Director Goodsite.
I will second. Director
second Goodsite. By Director Ford. We have any public comment, April, before we call for the vote?
We do not.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Goodsite.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Vice President Ozuhowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass. Congratulations, Mr. Cooper. You are a representative for the JPIA.
Congratulations, Director Cooper. Thank you for your willingness to serve. We now can move on to item 6.4.
President Martin, did you want to?
I am reminded by Vice President Ozuhowski that we have an alternate to appoint. It does not have to be a board member. It can be a member of staff. I'm not going to nominate, but it was in my mind that Rochelle Patterson would make a good alternate, but I will leave that to the other members of the board to consider and nominate if you so choose. So, Vice President Ozuhowski.
I would like to nominate Rochelle Patterson if she chooses to accept the role for an alternate position.
Do we have any other nominations?
I think she should accept the role because it's already the Michelle Patterson show.
Seeing no other nominations, I would entertain a motion to appoint Rochelle Patterson, our Chief Financial Officer, as the Aqua JPIA alternate.
So moved, Director Ford.
Second. Motion by Director Ford.
Second.
Second by Director Kelly. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Goodsite.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Vice President Ozuhowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Congratulations, Ms. Patterson. You are our alternate for the JPIA board.
Thank you, Rochelle, for your willingness to serve, even though I've never asked you whether you'd be willing to serve. You didn't step back fast enough. Okay. All right. We now can move on to item 6.4. This is an item to consider and approve remote attendance for Director Kelly for all board and committee meetings, finance, administration, public outreach, and legislation for the months of November and December. The reason it's on the board agenda tonight is that is in accordance with our policy. I did not ask Director Kelly to attend remotely to any of these meetings yet. So the board policy allows for it to be agendized for consideration by the full board. We do have a handout at your place of Director Kelly's email. If Director Kelly would like to expand on his request, feel free to do so.
I don't think there's a lot to expand on other than I was elected to the position that I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a lame duck. I want to be able to contribute all the way through the very end of my term. I know I have a lot of value to the committees, as well as I hope I have value to the board. 18 years is a long track record, and that's why I'm asking. I'm going to be in North Carolina with a great grandbaby, but we're at one location, and we'll be able to maintain a remote capabilities, post everything on the wall, and do whatever is legal to attend the meetings. So I ask for your vote to say yes and let me to continue to serve the board until January. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Director Kelly. I would like to note for the board that regardless of how the vote goes, if the board does not agree with the request and does not vote to approve the request, I still have the prerogative to ask Director Kelly to attend any meeting remotely going forward through the end of the year. Is that correct, Mr. Bunn?
I think so.
Very good. All right, the policy allows for that. So with that, Director Planbeck.
Can I just ask one thing? Is Mr. Kelly moving out of the area?
No, I'm not moving out of the area. I have a house in North Carolina. We intend to be there between 4 and 5 months a year after tax season, but I still have my tax presence here. I have not changed driver's license, and I will be here 7 to 8 months out of the year, if that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Before we proceed with further discussion and perhaps a motion, do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. Then we can continue with board questions and discussion. I don't see any Vice President Ozahowski.
Director Kelly, you are the chair of the Finance and Admin Committee. And running the committee hybrid would be a little bit difficult than doing it in person. Would you be willing to step down as chair of the Finance and Admin Committee if this vote goes through and you'll be attending that committee virtually?
During my presidency of the agency, when committee chairs were formed, I requested that there always be a subcommittee chair or secondary city, chair that could sit in and take the place of the chair if the chair wasn't there. That has happened the last couple of times to success, but to answer your question, yes, I don't think it's fair for me to hold that title, throughout the rest of the year. I did request that Director Colley set up as be my secondary, but I think that position would be best filled by the board president to decide who should take my place. But yes, I'd be glad to step down.
Understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Director Cooper.
One last thing regards to Director Planbeck's question. I got a great grandbaby in North Carolina, but my son just informed me that I have to stay here because I'm going to have a granddaughter. So I'm going to be split in my travel time.
Congratulations, Director Kelly. All right, Director Cooper.
Well, I thank Director Kelly for the 18 years that he's spent on this board. He's come a long way from the first few time meetings that we had when he knew absolutely nothing about water, and he's learned a lot over the years, and he put a lot of time into doing that. And I would love to say, yes, let's just go ahead and do November, December, but the board set a policy, and the policy needs to really dictate how we operate. And if there's a meeting that comes up and Mr. Kelly or any other director is out of town and we need to have a full board, then the president can say, yeah, gosh, we need you here and let's ask you to do that. And that's the way the policy is set up to operate. And it's not just for somebody going on vacation I think that if we, I hate to say that, I think if we do this, I think we leave ourselves open for other people doing the same thing, saying that, hey, let's, I'm going to be gone for 2 or 3 months. and I'd like to just attend remotely. And when we did the policy, we said that's what we didn't want to do. And so I feel bad about that, but I feel that we ought to stick to the policy and kind of leave it up to the president. If he needs somebody, then it's up to the president to do it, but that the board shouldn't step in and make this change if we're not, we're opening ourselves up to problems with it in the future if we continue to do that.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Any other comments or discussion? Vice President Ozahusky.
Mr. Bunn, can you comment on that? If we approve Director Kell's request, that sets a precedent. And if in a future director is for whatever reason denied attending virtually, can he or she have any claim to a protest or argue their case that that ruling at that time was unfair?
Dr. Ozahofsky, yes, of course they can argue their case, but there's no compelling reason to uphold that precedent. The board treats each thing separately and votes on that separately.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Director Colley.
I think this is relatively simple. I think that RJ is pointing out that he was elected to represent a constituency and he remains apparently qualified to continue to represent them for those months that he's asking for. It is a minor burden on this agency to have him appear remotely. I would stress that it's incredibly minor. We already do vote by roll call all the time anyway. So I see no downside. And I think his pointing out that he represents a constituency that have elected him is valid. Now, I think it might be a little bit different if we were full-time representatives and we were paid a couple hundred thousand dollars a year to represent our constituents, but we're not. We're paid very little. And I think that his desire to spend majority of his time that he's not representing his constituency with grandchildren or doing whatever is not really my concern, but I think that it's perfectly logical and appropriate for him to continue to represent the people that elected him.
Thank you, Director Colley. Director Cooper.
Just a note that there's a bill that was passed in the legislature the last few days that's going to allow board members for all kinds of agencies to be able to attend remotely next year. And they can only do it for just cause, and they can only do it, I think it's twice a year is all they're allowed to do it. And so there'll be a bill that we'll have to adjust our policy to reflect that.
Thank you, Director Cooper.
Mr. President.
Director Gutsai.
I'm fine with having the general manager comment before
just,
I do.
Just thank you for that. I just wanted to clarify, as I understand it, the current law will stay in effect, where if we notice the place of each meeting location and post it and maintain availability for the public to attend at any of those locations, we can still do that. What the new law does is say you don't have to notice that, but it really narrows the situations where that can occur. And so we would not necessarily have to adjust our policy, but it would be another opportunity. For example, if there were an emergency and a couple of directors were in Sacramento for a conference or something like that, we could have the meeting. The board has to vote at the beginning of the meeting to allow the remote participation. But it alleviates the need to do the posting at that location and to have a publicly available space. But it limits the circumstances where that can occur.
And it would not apply here. It does apply to people traveling on agency business, but not traveling for other reasons.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead, Director Guzay.
I just want to make clear, I mean, you said it, but, you know, I know some people travel a lot. Other people have second homes in other areas. We have, I believe in the past, had issue with medical reimbursements and directors being treated differently. I'm talking about healthcare, like everybody has to be the same. Are we sure that this would not be viewed as, if somebody wants to go to Europe next summer for 3 months and they ask the board is not going to be somehow encouraged to approve that? I heard you say it the first time, but that is my concern, that it become a precedent and that the board members be considered not treated the same.
I understand that. I can't predict what board members would do. Someone could argue that motion. I'm just saying that there's no legal or policy reason that you have to do the same thing in a different case.
Director Planback.
Yeah, but after next year, that wouldn't be permissible, right?
No, as the general manager said, that those laws, the laws about posting the agenda and so forth, that procedure will stay in place next year.
Well, I thought the law had something about there had to be legitimate, like sickness or something to, I don't know.
Yes, it does, but it's an alternate procedure. So you can.
So once they get to Europe, then they can dial in and ask if we will allow them to be in the meeting. Zoom in. Is that the way the law is going to work?
No, the new law just establishes some situations. So the old law stays there.
Mm-hmm.
All the rules that we have now, all the rules that Director Kelly is operating under, stay in place. There's an alternative procedure where you don't have to post agendas. You don't have to have your hotel room or house open to the public if that's what you're doing. But it's in very limited circumstances, as you point out, and the board has to make the determination that those circumstances are met. So as I see it, that's very rarely going to come into play.
Well, I have to say I have concerns about 2 months, too. And I think it would be really unfair if somebody else on this board asked to have 2 months off and we've given Mr. Kelly 2 months off and then we don't allow the other people to have 2 months off. And I do worry about directors being here. And I'm wondering if there's any compromise, perhaps maybe by doing it between Thanksgiving and Christmas or something like that. Would that help?
I put my request in writing. I'll abide by whatever the vote is, and I'll rely on the president to make any decisions if he wants me to attend. But my goal is to be able to fulfill my duties that I was elected to do.
Director Guzay.
I want to say, if we could have a certainty that this, we could do this for RJ because of his length of service and the issue of, you know, not being a lame duck, I would. I am concerned about setting precedent because a lot of people, you know, we all got comfortable with Zoom And I think we do business better in person in general, long term. I wish there was a way this could be a one-time incident.
Director Colley.
I'd ask my fellow directors to consider what it is that denying the request, what they would hope to accomplish. If the hope would be that RJ would cancel his plans and stay and be in person, if I thought that was possible, I might even vote against it because, I think it'd be nicer to have him in person. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that most directors on this board probably figure out what it is they would like to do and plan to do, and they do that and give less consideration to the desire. So in other words, if I'm going to go and look after my granddaughters in Texas, I'm going to do that. Okay, I'm going to make that decision independent of whether or not I'm going to be able to attend this meeting. I think that a director being willing to appear remotely is a positive in that case. And so I'm not disagreeing that it's preferable, and we all generally are here. And I don't think that a vote to say that, yes, he can appear remotely is going to change that. So I'm not sure what we're really after. The real question before us is whether or not we have RJ participate for the months of November and December. I think that's probably the real choice for us. Either he's here remotely or he's not here. So I would prefer that he have the opportunity to represent those who have elected him, as I've said. Thank you.
Director Cooper.
Yeah, I understand. I like RJ. In fact, I'm the one that got RJ to come onto the board many years ago. I would like to say yes, but we set up a set of rules that we all have to function by. And I'm leaving for the months of November and December for over 3 weeks. I'm going to Europe. And I know that. I schedule around as many meetings as I can so I can make what board meetings I can and which ones I miss. And it's always been that way. I mean, when we decide to travel, we have to miss meetings. And that's the way we set our policy up to be. And so, I'm not going to ask that you let me call in from Europe unless you need me for something. That's the way we develop the policy. And I think we need to stick with our policy unless we're just going to change it every time somebody has a need.
Any other comments or discussion? Director Ford.
Thank you, President Martin. I may be sympathetic because I'm in a similar situation, but we do have a date certain when the extension of allowing to participate remotely in the meetings will end for RJ. He has established that he is retaining a residence here in the division. So his constituents still know where to find him if they need to. And then finally, the one thing I saw problematic in granting this was the chairmanship of the committee, and he has stipulated that he will hand the reins to somebody else. So with those things, I would be willing to support the...
Is that a motion? Motion, Director Ford?
Yes, I'll make a motion.
All right. Director Planbutt.
I guess my concern more is that I hope that this is allowed for other people if it's being allowed for RJ. Not that, I agree with what you said, it's better to have him participate. But I do think it's arbitrary to say that RJ can do it, but others can't. So I hope that it's going to be allowed for other people.
I'll second the motion. Colley.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. I do have a comment before we call the roll. I also, you know, I got this request from Director Kelly some time ago, and what I was certainly never going to do was just to approve it carte blanche all the way through December. We have a policy that says this request can come back to the board for consideration, which is exactly what we're doing. No matter how we vote tonight on this issue, it's not going to change that same policy. Everybody's circumstance is different, as Director Colley pointed out, and I wouldn't expect a similar circumstance to come before us. So I am concerned about the precedent-setting question, but I do think the circumstances for Director Kelly are somewhat unique. And so if we would take that into consideration when we vote, I think we should. So unless there's further discussion, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll? We have a motion to approve the request and a second.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
I believe we did ask for public comment. We have none.
There is no public comment.
There is no public comment.
So Director Peterson voted yes. Director Cooper.
No.
Director Gutzeit.
No.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Colley. I'll come back to Director.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass.
Very good. Thank you, Board. And just to
President Martin, just to be clear that this covers the two committees that RJ is on, or Director Kelly is on, which is Public Outreach and Legislation and Finance Administration. Those two committees, as well as all the board meetings up until the end of the year, starting in November.
Okay. And I will probably move to appoint a leader as an alternate board chair for both of the, well, you're not board chair for PLO, so chair for finance, I'll probably appoint the alternate and perhaps take your recommendation. Yes.
I'd like to thank everybody for the healthy discussion. I can see both sides of the coin, and thank you very much for your vote.
All right, we can move on to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay. Let's see. We're still under an hour, but I have about a 70-minute GM. No, just kidding. A few items to note since our last meeting just a couple of weeks ago. The agency conducted its annual health fair on Wednesday, September 28th, and we had a pretty good turnout for the health fair, picking up information, and there was a virtual element too, so staff could get information remotely as well, which was sort of one of those pandemic-induced adjustments that we've made available for those who maybe can't get over to Rio that particular day. We had about 65 staff who signed up to get a jab of one kind or another, flu or bivalent COVID. And I will say, after 5 COVID shots, the flu shot for me was barely noticeable. I think I had mosquito bites that were worse. So I want to thank our HR, public information, and logistical support from other staff to make that event happen. Again, they're kind of the unseen support for many things that happen at the agency. And you'll kind of notice that as a theme throughout the report tonight. On Friday, September 9th, 29th, the board held a much anticipated special meeting and conducted a tour of some representative facilities, including a steel water tank, booster station, turnout. We now know what those are. Well, and the NWELS PFAS treatment facility, among others. I know this was long anticipated, and due to the pandemic-related delays in scheduling and logistics, it took some time. But I really want to express appreciation for all the staff who supported that tour. As you saw, for those of you who were able to attend, there were staff at each location to make sure gates were open and that people didn't get lost, or at least not too lost. And the cell phones were handy in a couple of cases. No vans were stuck. And that was good.
Small things.
But I really want to give special thanks to Mike Alvord, who made a masterful presentation, giving an overview of our operations and our facilities before the launch of the tour. That was one not to be missed. If you did happen to miss it, you could replay the tape of the meeting and look at the PowerPoint, and I think you would follow it pretty well. Moving along, Steve Cole and I had an opportunity to meet later that day, and that's why we had to bail from the tour at the PFAS stop with our counterparts from Irvine Ranch Water District and Rosedale Rio Bravo Water District to just kind of touch base and discuss our ongoing partnerships in water banking, what our agency's various current and future needs and thoughts were. I thought it was a very valuable discussion, and we were lucky to be in the middle of those two agencies, so we got to host. And I think we plan to continue having those meetings from time to time. There's been some turnover in the management at Rosedale Rio Bravo, so it's good to kind of renew that that level of communication. And I think we'll be exploring ideas for further cooperation and coordination as we kind of navigate jointly. We're all kind of navigating through a lot of different challenges. So we want to make sure our water banking arrangements are sound and that we don't miss other potential opportunities that come up. So it was kind of a kickoff to hopefully some continued discussion there. This past Saturday, I was able to participate in the Cast for Kids event at Castaic Lake. CAST is Catch a Special Thrill, the acronym, and it's an organization which orchestrates events all over the country. Local lake or river facility operators, fishermen, volunteers, and other partners come together to create a day for special kids in the community to come out, catch a fish, enjoy a barbecue, get a photo or two with their boat captain, and just have a good time. And after 2 years of it being canceled due to the pandemic, it was really good to be back out there again. Turnout was a little lower than past years. I think we've got to get the word, back out in the community. But for those who were there, they had a good time, and we had a good time. Again, thanks to our public affairs and our operations staff who helped with logistics and cooking at the event. And I'll just want to acknowledge that we're one of many partners in that. It's not just a SCV water show there. DWR is very involved as the local host there, as well as a number of civic groups such as the Lions Club, Friends of Castaic Lake, and local businesses as well. So it's a really nice event, and I still rank it as sort of my favorite thing to do every year when it comes up. And then finally, since we had the Rochelle night, and I should say Rochelle and her excellent team, congratulations to our finance team. The agency was recently awarded GFOA's Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting for its fiscal year 2021 Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, ACFR. And we are working on a more formal announcement, but I wanted to take the opportunity to recognize our team on that accomplishment. And that concludes my report tonight. Thanks. And April, it's already in your email.
We can move on to, do we have any public comment on the report?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 8, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. You have 3 committee reports in your packet. Do we have any questions or comments on the reports? Seeing none, we can move on to item. Well, before I do that, do we have any public comment on item 8?
We do not.
Very good. We move on to item 9, written reports for informational purposes only. You have 5 of those in your packet. I would ask, are there any questions or comments from the board? Director Armitage.
Thank you. Just a brief one comment, one question on the water resources and outreach section report. The comment is, so there's a section that talks about how staff coordinated a site visit to the Magic Mountain Wastewater Treatment Plant with LA County Sanitation District and Hart School District staff. Hart School District staff requested the site visit to learn more about wastewater processes in support of the agency's Purple Prep recycled water conversion program. And I just want to say that's awesome. I'm really glad to see the interest so that they can hopefully better understand and perhaps become supportive of the work we're trying to do affecting some of the schools there. So I was really glad to read that. And then the question I had was there was a note here about how the California's ongoing drought and Governor Newsom's executive order N-722 have rendered the development of the Rosedale Phase 2 wells project infeasible at this time, and that staff's investigating the possibility of moving the Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart DRP program grant funding to alternate projects. I just wondered if you could expand that in a little bit.
Sure. Thank you, Director Armitage, if I may, President Martin. Yes, so that was the grant that was received for potentially expanding the pumping capacity out of our Rosedale Rio Bravo program. I think the challenge right now is due to the drought and some of the conditions in the local farming area out there. Exploration of new wells is not really a good timing thing currently in that area, in that general area. And so staff has reached out to the Bureau of Reclamation and has been discussing with them other opportunities to shift that grant funding. We're exploring the Saugus 3 and 4 well program here locally as a replacement project for that project.
Thank you. I mean, it's good to know that I guess they're open to that so we don't lose that grant funding opportunity, right?
Yeah, it will be a significant lift, but we've had several meetings with Bureau of Reclamation staff and they are working with us to make the request.
Any other questions on the written reports? Not sure if I asked if we had public comment on that item.
We do not.
Very good. Thank you. Go ahead, Director, Vice President Osowski.
Item 9.1, page 151, capital improvement project constructions. Just want a confirmation. We have a lot of completion dates for these last 3 months of the year. Everything's on schedule. Is that right?
We do have some time delays. We will talk about some of those at the upcoming E&O meetings on some of the projects that have there. We're doing our best to keep things on schedule, but we are definitely running into some material supplies, ones that we hadn't encountered before, where specifically some of the SCADA systems on some of our projects are taking a long time, instrumentation. We understood there would be the delays in the pipe and all of that. That occurs early on, and usually you're getting your instrumentation later on. So we're noticing some delays there, but we'll go over that at our E&O and when we go over the list of projects.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayo. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Vice President Osowski. Director Kelly.
Once again, I attended the Aqua ACE committee, subcommittee regarding the educational award. And we pretty much wrapped everything up, came up with a final summary, and they agreed to move it forward to the board to review But they did say they're going to schedule one more meeting in the beginning of this month to just review the final touch up. And it looks like it's going to be an exciting program. I think last time I mentioned that it was an individual award. All our conversation has been about individuals, but it's individuals that are doing things on behalf of the agency. So it, in reality, it's an agency award. And I would look forward to our president and other people involved to, you know, appoint individuals that can garner the activity, the vote, the camaraderie, and everything else that it takes so that our agency can continue to represent Aqua in it, to its fullest. So that was via Zoom on the 21st.
Thank you. Director Kelly, was that an AD 1234 report?
It probably was.
I kind of thought it might be.
It was written in my brain.
So I'm sure the board secretary took note of the report. So, but we are wrapping up item 9, and we can move on to item 10, president's report. I have a few things to update the board on. Outside of agency conference and events, the City of Santa Clarita State of the City will be October 27, held at the Canyon Country Community Center at 3 p.m. The Via Bash will be held November 4th, 2022 at 6 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency Valencia. The Aqua 2022 Fall Conference being held in Indian Wells from November 29th through December 1st, then the Aqua JPIA meeting, by the way, will be on the Monday of that week, and Aqua JPIA events are Monday and Tuesday. Upcoming board meetings, regular board meeting October 18th will start at 6 p.m. Special board meeting on October 21st, the start time at 1 p.m. This meeting will not be a hybrid meeting. Members of the public are welcome to attend in person. Public comments can be heard in person that day or can be emailed to the board secretary no later than 11 a.m. the day of the meeting for distribution and posting of the SCV on the SCV website. The reason for that is this is basically a board workshop for evaluation of the general manager. We have a facilitator and it will be conducted in closed session. So aside from the introduction of the meeting and then closed session announcements, there won't be much for members of the public to participate in if they attend in person, and it would have caused staff members to have to attend and been somewhat complicated since the board secretary doesn't attend and participate in the general manager evaluation session. So that is basically the reason why it will be no hybrid portion to that meeting. Mitch Rosenberg will be facilitating the meeting virtually. We all remember Mitch. He's facilitated the last couple of general manager evaluations, and I think we all appreciate the way it was handled. He will be attending remotely. His assistant, Aaron, will be in person. You will be receiving an email from Mitch shortly with the GM's review attached. Please make sure you complete it and return to Mitch by the due date that comes included with the email. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of October held at Summit Circle in the ESS boardroom. October 6th, Engineering and Operations, 5:30. October 12th, Water Resources and Watershed at 5:30. And October 20th, Public Outreach also at 5:30. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of October held at Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant in the boardroom will be October 24th, the Finance and Administration Committee meeting, also at 5:30. This meeting was rescheduled from October 17th. So if you're on F&A, just take note that your meeting now is on October 24th. And that completes the president's report. Do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Unless there's any questions or discussion by the board, we can move on to item 11. RJ, we now have arrived at AB 1234 reports. You've already
would you like me to repeat mine?
The group. You have a number of AB 1234 reports in your packet. And I would ask, are there any other AB 12, Director Cooper?
Yes, I have a couple. I attended Aqua Board on the 22nd and 23rd with Zoom. And, of course, we did our special board meeting on the 30th and attended the GSA meeting on the 3rd of October.
Dr. Armitage.
Thank you. So I attended the Aqua Local Government Committee meeting virtually on September 28th. And the meeting was about some work that a subcommittee has been working on, which is a proposal to have updated language in legislation to allow the option for the billing of fixed water charges to be added to property tax. Two main reasons that Aqua is pushing for this is that they say it will make water more affordable to people who rent, and it puts the onus on property owners for the fixed charges. And then the second one is it gives more flexibility for revenue needs for to the agencies. And at first, there was some question as to whether or not agencies that provide drinking water would be able to participate. And it sounds like the way they are writing it would give drinking water agencies the ability to participate if they so choose. It's not it wouldn't become a requirement. It would just be another option. Let's see. The committee voted on a resolution to accept the proposed text and language, and it did pass. And so the next step is it goes on to the state ledge committee at Aqua, which will then consider it and decide whether or not to have it move forward or give it back to the local government committee with more direction. And that will happen at the fall Aqua conference. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Director Lambeck.
I attended the GSA meeting yesterday, and I'll do a written report on it.
Bill. Did you have a question, Director Cooper?
I just wanted to add to Director Armitage there. This opportunity, well, the problem is in California is... there would be, if they set up a system to where people get their bills paid, their water bills paid because they are under a certain salary level, it would be one third of the customers in California. And so that's why they're looking at this, putting the fixed charges on the tax bill. And that way the landowner or the property owner is paying that in the tax bill, so you never lose that amount. All you're putting up then is the volumetric charge that would be there. So, yeah, this is kind of going along with that. Who's going to pay for the people that can't pay their water bills? That was very good. Thank you.
Very good. Any other AB 1234s? Director Ozahusky. Vice President Ozahowski.
Just one. On the 3rd of October, I've also attended the SCV Groundwater Sustainability Agency, and I would like to direct everyone to Director Goodsight's written report. Very summarizes what took place. So thank you, Director Goodsight.
Thank you. All right, bringing up the rear, I also attended the GSA board meeting, and you can refer to Director Gutzeit's well-written report if you need any information. Thank you, Director Gutzeit. With that, we are concluded with the AB 1234s. Any public comment, April?
There is not.
Very good. We'll move to item 12, director reports. Do we have any director reports tonight? Director Armitage.
Just briefly again, thanks to Kathy Martin and her team. I know that it is National Customer Service Week. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of the hardworking customer service staff who, you know, if you've listened to the conversations we've been having over the last couple of years and all of the unique situations that came up related to COVID. I think we all know that our customer service staff have been working and going above and beyond and trying to help the customers who've had needs to keep their accounts up to date. So thank you to all of them for that. And it's also Water Professionals Appreciation Week. So I feel like everybody else falls into that category. So thank you to everybody for all the work that's being done to keep our waters safe and clean. So thanks.
Very good. Thank you, Director Armitage. Any other director reports? Seeing none, we have any public comment on that report, Madam Secretary?
We do not.
Very good. We can go to item 13, director request for approval for event attendance. Do we have any requests for event attendance? Director Planbeck.
DWR is doing a virtual a symposium on 9 to 12 on October 17th. And it's on drought to flood. It's a drought to flood symposium, building resilience for California's climate extremes. And I was wondering if it would be all right for board members interested in addressing climate change if they could attend.
Is that, Madam Secretary, a pre-approved meeting?
I don't think it's DWR, not AQUA, so.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that DWR is on our list, but I can check and.
All right. Director Cooper. Very good. We have a second.
Second, Armitage.
Second, Director Armitage.
And I'd like it to be open to everyone.
Yeah.
And get the information.
I would like it to be open to everyone too.
Can we get the link? Because it sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Yes, I'll send the link around. I'll send it to April and she can send it in.
Very good. Before we vote, do we have any public comment?
We do not.
All right.
Please call the roll, Madam Secretary.
Good day.
Oh, Director Colley.
Since, well, a little bit of ambiguity here. So there was a motion made and then several people suggested that everyone be allowed to make it. So I guess I'll do a substitute motion to suggest that we, okay, any director be allowed to attend.
I'll second that. Basically the same thing, isn't it? All right. That's fine. Can we do that, Mr. Bone? Okay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Planbeck.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Vice President Ozuchowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Attendance is approved for all board members.
Very good. Thank you, board. Seeing no other requests for future event attendance, we can move to item 14, adjournment. I want to thank the board, thank the staff, thank public who attended, and we are hereby adjourned.